Hello everybody, I'm Bruce Kyle. I'm an architect evangelist and I represent Microsoft with software companies in the United States Pacific Northwest. I'm here with Stuart Solarier to explore the new language features in C# 4. It's a whirlwind tour of C# 4. Stuart's going to describe each of the major features and why it's useful. He doesn't get into best practices nor suggested usages. It's just the facts about each feature.
Hello. I'm Stuart Solarier, and I'm a Microsoft Regional Director in Portland, Oregon, and an MVP on Connected Systems. You can reach me through my blog at visualstuart.net.
Hey, Stuart, what's today's whirlwind?
Today I'd like to tell you about named and optional parameters. It's actually two separate features, and they work really well together. Now, what we're really doing with both of these features is finally achieving feature parity with that great language, Visual Basic. Optional parameters are something that the .NET framework has some built-in support for already. So it's able to store a default value for a parameter on a method as part of the metadata. And that's good because that provides a consistent way of having default values on parameters across all managed languages. And now finally, C# will have a syntax so that it can use that. Now, the way we specify that a parameter is optional is by providing a default value for it. So if I omit that parameter, it's going to have the value of the default. Easiest to see, again, if we take a look at some code. So I have here a new project. And I've written out a method called entree. And entree takes a couple of parameters. And the second one, price, after I declare the type and the name of the parameter, I'm writing an equal sign and then providing a default value for that parameter, which means if I were to omit price, then when this is invoked, I would have a parameter called price, and its value would be that default. Similarly, for the other parameters we see on the list, and the rule is that once I provide a default value for one parameter, I should be providing them for all of the parameters to the right on the signature. Now, I made this method really simple, just so that we could see parameters being passed in, And so we're just writing those various passed in parameters out to the console line so that we can see what's going on. And so here's examples of us omitting certain parameters. So in the very first line, 14 there, the very first invocation, I'm passing in all of the parameters. Even though I have default values, and whether I'm expressing the default value or something different, I've just expressed all of the parameter values the same way I always would. But now in each of the successive invocations, I'm leaving off more and more parameters. That might raise a question in the developer's mind. Well, how do I know what the default value is, whether I'm willing to accept that or not? And hey, IntelliSense has got your back here. So I'm looking at the next parameter I've got is the one called price. It's a decimal, and its default value is 10. So if I omit it, I will be getting that value. So I can see all those default values there in IntelliSense. Let's go ahead and run this part of the application and see what happens. So I've got just a little console app that's calling the entrees static method there. So let me go ahead and run that. And I see that in each case I have the parameters, and the ones that I did not express, that I omitted in the invocation of the method, I end up with the default value. Okay? Let's head back to the slides and talk about named parameters. A named parameter means I'm going to bind a value to the parameter based on its name as opposed to its position. So let's think about the problem for a second. There are some APIs out there that take a tremendous number of parameters. And in fact, in this case, something out of the Office Automation API for Word, and the save as method on a document takes quite a number of parameters, and the way that I've historically had to express that I'm omitting one of those parameters that has a default in it is by passing the missing value property out of system.reflection namespace. This is rather cumbersome. If you think about this, what if I want to have one of those be not the default value? Well, I'm going to have to go in and count positions and figure out. Now, of course, if I'm in IntelliSense, it's sort of telling me along the way, but I've got lots of parameters here. If I am just like in a debug situation, or I'm looking at this code statically and trying to figure out whether maybe I've put the parameter into the wrong position, there's a lot of room for me to make errors there and really mistakes that can be costly to debug. The solution is to use named parameters. The form of the name is pretty simple. We use the name as that parameter was declared in the method declaration, followed by a colon, and then the value I'd like to pass. Oh, by the way, those refs, those go away too, because this is a COM call, and we'll see that in the next Whirlwind session. Those parameter names provide a little bit of extra semantics to me. They help me understand with descriptive names like, oh, I don't know, file name and embed true type fonts. They help me understand the meaning of passing true or false into a parameter. By the way, the missing parameters, the ones that we omitted, we were able to do that because all of those have good default values. Therefore, they were optional, so we've combined those two features. Let's go to the code and make sure we've got a good solid understanding of this. So here I have a method called thing, and it takes five parameters, a bunch of strings, and an int. They have default values. And as before, in our previous example, we're just writing these values out to the console line so that we can understand what's going on. So if I look at line 17, I can invoke this the way I always have, providing all of the parameters positionally. But the next line, line 18, I can specify the first parameter positionally, and after that start using named parameters. So I'm going to use emotion, but not any of the others. And oh, by the way, IntelliSense again has my back here, so it's providing for me the names and the default values so that I can easily see what I have, the options that I have for as I'm writing out the parameters on a particular method. When I use positional parameters, I must start from the parameter at the left end of the signature. And as soon as I start using named parameters, then I can provide those names in any order I want at all. So you will observe, for example, that in line 19, I'm binding triangular to shape parameter and furry to texture parameter. But in fact, shape and texture in the declaration of thing are in a different order. So I can order my parameters now in ways that are meaningful and might make the code a little bit easier to maintain as well. Let's go ahead and run this. This is part of my same console application I ran before, so there's our previous example. Here's our new example. And so we see all of the values, including the default values. We see that we were passing parameters in by name, and they all got into the right, the values all got bound to the right parameters. Great. Optional and named parameters work with all the class members that can take parameters. So that means methods, as we were seeing, but also constructors as well as indexers. So some of the benefits of named and optional parameters, I'm no longer creating overloads of methods and overloads of constructors that exist simply for the convenience of being able to omit or rearrange certain parameters. And I have been in situations where a particular class that gets used in a lot of different contexts might have, you know, 10, 15 different constructors, most of which exist just so that I might be able to omit certain parameters. That's not to say that overloading has no place, but now I can be much more explicit about using overloading to, for example, construct an object from different types of data. So I can be more explicit when I'm doing my overloading and also have smaller, cleaner classes. Office Automation has COM interop libraries that by their design make heavy use of optional parameters. So fewer numbers of calls but many optional parameters, and the things that make them optional is that in every case there is a good and meaningful default value that won't be changing over the lifetime of that COM library. It's been reported to me that at least one of those methods has 32 different parameters on it, and all but one of them are optional. So writing code against the libraries, be they the Office Automation libraries or maybe libraries, COM libraries that you have in your legacy IT assets, becomes a whole lot easier. And C# developers no longer have to endure the scorn of VB programmers who have been doing this all along. On the flip side, there's a certain liability that comes with this. So this a little bit complicates the resolution of overloads in the compiler. And you might be thinking, well, who cares? It's the compiler. It's paid to think really hard. But in fact, when we're writing code as developers, we also have to understand how the compiler resolves overloads. And so it's going to complicate our lives a little bit, too. That was already a fairly complicated story, so we've got a little bit more work ahead of us. I'm not going to go through the rules of overload resolution right now, but I will mention that they operate on the principle of least surprise, so I hope you are surprised in the least with them. But just consider this. The class dog might have two different methods called bark, one that takes a string and one that takes a string and an int, and let's say that the int has a default value. So if I have a dog named Spot and Spot barks and I just pass the string, which one of these two different bark methods gets invoked? And the principle of least surprise would say, well, the one that has the absolute best match, in this case, I'd expect the first bark to get invoked because its signature exactly matches the parameters that I'm passing. Based on that, we have another level of liability, which is there's more of a burden on a class designer, on a library designer, to think really hard about overloaded operations. On the one hand, I can write far fewer of them, but on the other hand, I want to think really hard about preventing situations like we saw in the previous example. So, I encourage you to enjoy coding more using named and optional parameters.
This is Bruce again. Thanks for watching. The links to the code are posted up on Channel 9, and you can come join me on the USISV community blog.
And this is Stuart Solarier. I'll see you at visualstuart.net.